Pennzoil's to a whole new level. Make the switch to Pennzoil Pure Plus Synthetics today.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. I got to be honest with you, I'm storing up a little extra energy, because for the next 2 weeks I'll be working every day.
What?
Not on this show, but filling in for Martin Kilcoyne and John Carney on their respective midday shows. So, not that I'm going to be low-key today. We're fully powered up. We've got everything going. Dan and Ian are here with me, and later on, Colin will be here to talk about movies, and Mike Evans, and the Harris Challenge, and Knuckleheads in the News, and Bill Cleveland.
How much time does Melvin Kilrod and John Carney get off?
An enormous amount.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Carney is celebrating his 40th anniversary in show business.
Oh.
So going back to when he was a young Carney.
Oh, okay.
Literally, yeah, working at the carnivals.
Yeah.
I think he had the one where you have to spray the water into the clown's mouth to make the balloon expand. Yeah. That was his first
job. It looks like number four is a winner. What would you like, kid?
And his voice always sounded like that.
Yeah.
You know? Most of us, when we hit puberty, our voice dropped. Yeah, we were way up here, and then one day, it became radio ready. No, he's always talked.
He came
like
out
that. And he's like, Mama, Dada, say, listen. I'd like some milk.
Let me see that breast again, Mom. All right, little Johnny.
Sounds
down.
Like the Smucker's guy. Right. Who was that?
Who?
The Smucker's ads.
Mason Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Was the guy.
With a name like Smucker's.
It's got to be good. Yeah. No, I'm doing Casey Kent, my bad Casey Kasem.
It was close, though.
Speaking of voice guys, I did not know this, but, you know, there's a relatively famous director by the name of Paul Thomas Anderson. He did Boogie Nights. He did this recent one, Insurgent Vice, whatever the recent one was. And he did Magnolia, and he's done a bunch of other things. I just read an article about him, and his father, Paul Thomas Anderson's father, was a guy named Ernie Anderson. Do you know where Ernie Anderson was?
The name sounds familiar.
He was the voice of every promo on the ABC television network through almost the entire 70s and 80s.
Wow.
He'd be the guy who'd be going, Laverne and Shirley. Then it's a Love Boat Spectacular. he's actually the one who became famous for being known as the guy who went, The Love Boat. That was him, Ernie Anderson. I used to like it when he had to go from a wacky comedy into a serious thing.
Yeah.
It would be Barney Miller. Then at 9, an in-depth investigation. 2020 looks at child abuse on the street. He could make that switch. So his son is this famous director now. And that's apropos of absolutely nothing to start the show today. Because, frankly, we are the radio version of March Madness without actually having basketball, in that this show is designed to reduce American productivity.
Yes.
If we can keep you from working and drive down American productivity, at the end of the day, we feel like we have done our job, right?
Yes. And also keep in mind, there will be some upsets along the way.
On this show.
Yes.
Not in the basketball game.
No,
but
no.
On this show, the underdog somehow is going to pull it out with a three-pointer at the buzzer. We don't even know what we're talking about here. March Madness is the one time of the year, the only time of the year, where men all across America say, honey, do we get True TV?
Yes.
What channel number is True TV? I never heard of True TV.
Yeah.
I want to watch the whatever game.
If you love Cops, though, if you're a fan of the TV show Cops,
oh, they
True
rerun?
TV is the channel for you. Sometimes you can find 5 and 6 hour blocks of...
like Law and Order on TNT?
Mm. Yes.
The same kind of thing?
Absolutely, yes.
What's on, Cops?
But if you stick around long enough, which, unfortunately, I have before,
oh, no.
After like 3 hours, it was just a three-hour loop. You'll see the one that you saw 3 hours ago.
You know why? They figure, well, we got to do it for the East Coast and the Central yeah. time zone, and then we got to do it again for the Mountain
Nobody
time zone.
Nobody has
Pacific.
Been watching us
no.
for 3 hours
Who would watch
straight?
Cops for 3 hours straight? Eon. That's who. That productivity thing always gets me. You know, there's this there's this company that every year comes out with their estimate, and every news organization in the world, or in America anyway, feels like they have to announce that this year March Madness will cost American companies $1.2 billion in lost productivity, which is a lie.
Yeah, so how do they figure that?
It's a lie, because we all know, well, not us, because we don't have real jobs, but people who do have a real job, if you've got a, let's call it a cubicle job, you got to work 9 to 5 or 8 to 4:30 every day, and that's your life. You go in there. We all know that you're not actually putting in 8 solid hours of work.
Yeah, let's all be honest. The workforce, the companies are losing that amount every day.
Correct.
You're just going to use this.
This is just a current distraction.
Yes.
You know that? You ever hear the phrase "water cooler talk"? Where do you think we were standing around talking? The water cooler at the office.
Sorry, solitaire. I'll see you in a couple weeks. It's March Madness time.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, Jenkins, stop checking your Facebook account. I'm not. I'm checking March Madness numbers. And the other thing that happens every year at this time is not only do we get the productivity loss BS, but we also find out that the person who wins the office pool is always the person who knows the least about college basketball.
Oh, yeah. I just picked, or it might be a woman. I just picked because of the mascots, or I picked because of the color of their
uniforms.
I
picked Stephen A. Austin because my first boyfriend was named Stephen.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's happened so far today, but as of through yesterday's games, John Carney was leading our work pool. So we,
who was?
John
really?
Carney, so we know how big of a sports fan he is.
Yes. He's just slightly ahead of completely random.
Yes, Frank. He's slightly ahead of Frank, maybe.
I'm leading?
Yes,
that's
you,
crazy.
Yes, you are, John. What else do I have on the top of my show? Oh, in about 15 minutes, the guest for the second half hour today is going to be a guy who's making a documentary about Back to the Future. This is the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future. And as I recall, the movie came out in 1985, obviously.
Yes.
That's why it's the 30th anniversary. But when they went back to the past, it went back to 1955, and then in Back to the Future 2, I think they went 30 years into the future to this year.
Yes, they did, 2015, yeah.
So how come I don't have a hoverboard?
I don't know.
That's what I'm going to ask this guy who's making this documentary about it. He's been working on it for 2 years. It's called Back in Time.
There is, I saw online, though, there is a working hoverboard. The only problem is you have to fly it over a magnetic floor area. But they've actually
That's not a hoverboard. That's magnetic levitation.
Yes, exactly.
Why don't we have cars that are flying?
Well, there was another report out this week. Funny you should mention that. The first month I was on this radio station in 1999... 16 years ago. In fact, holy cow, it was 16 years ago this week.
Wow.
Yeah. 16 years ago, one of my very first interviews was with a guy from a company that said, we're coming out with a flying car. His name is Paul Mahler. And at the time, he was pretty much, if not the only guy, certainly the leading guy coming out with flying cars or talking about it. And I interviewed him on the air and I said, so when do you expect to have this out? He said, 2 to 3 years tops, meaning 2001 or 2002.
Is this the one that had wings on it?
Yeah.
And then they came.
Well, it has to because it flies.
Yeah, I know. It had wings, but
they fold it up.
Yeah, they fold up. Yeah,
yeah, they fold up, and you could keep it in your garage, back it out, drive. You had to get into a long enough runway somewhere to be able to go.
Yeah.
This week, and I've interviewed about 4 different people from different companies since then because I'm fascinated by the flying car concept, mostly when I'm stuck on 270 South.
Yes.
In the afternoon. So this week, another company came out and said, oh, yes, we expect to have one out by next year. And here's what it looks like. And it looks exactly like the other ones, the wings that fold up. You can roll it down. But he says you only need 200 yards of space to take off. And I thought, well, 200 yards? Wait a second. That's two football fields.
Yeah.
Who has two football fields? You can roll your roll out of your garage or your parking space on the street and have 200 yards of free space to take off from. Nobody.
Unless you just do it on 270.
You're never going to get up to a speed. Unless they make a flying car that goes 9 miles an hour and can take off at that speed, vertical takeoff and lifting, vertical takeoff and landing, it's not going to work. What else is on my desktop here today? Oh, I had lunch today. I did not know that there was a luncheon here at the radio station to dedicate the John Beaver studio down the hall to our late colleague who had worked here for over a decade, and we've talked over the last couple of years about how ill John got, and he passed away not too long ago. And so we've dedicated the radio station has dedicated a studio to him down the hall from the one that this show is broadcast from.
It was actually a very nice dedication. His family was here.
And, yeah, I heard.
And food was great.
I did not know about that. I had somebody else I was doing at noon today, and then on my way here, I just stopped. Like a half hour before the show, I stopped at Crazy Bowls and Wraps and went in and was going to get a chicken pesto wrap with dark meat and brown rice. That's my personal, one of my personal choices there. They no longer have dark meat there. It's only white meat chicken breast.
Wow.
And I'm here to publicly use the airwaves as a protest against that.
I am not a dark, meat chicken person.
I am.
But I know so many people that are, that absolutely love the dark meat.
When it comes to Thanksgiving, I know that there's always going to be enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because
everybody heads towards
the white meat. Right? Yeah. And that's fine. You know, everybody can have their personal preference. I just happen to, but so they don't have that anymore. Okay, fine. So I got the chicken pesto wrap with the white meat, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating that. And it's not very crowded at 2:15 in the afternoon on a Friday, particularly when productivity's been ruined by March Madness. And I'm sitting there, and there are maybe 10 other people in the place. And this group of three people comes in. They go to the counter. They order. They go sit down at their table. They're waiting for their food. And they're having a conversation. And then about 30 or 40 seconds into the conversation, I realize there's a fourth person involved in their conversation. They're using the speakerphone on one of their cell phones to have another person join them for lunch.
On the speakerphone?
On the speakerphone.
Were they Skyping with them?
Not like doing business or anything? It wasn't a work meeting?
No.
Not a conference call?
Well, first of all, if it is, now you're even more annoying. But this was annoying enough because you can have three or four people sitting around a table in a restaurant, and if they're not being rowdy, regular conversation volume level is going to be okay for everybody else in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But when you have the speakerphone, everybody feels like they have to talk louder.
Yes.
Cheryl, we're not going to be coming over this weekend because you feel like you have to project it, forgetting that the phone has a mechanism in it that amplifies your voice anywhere in the world. You don't have to shout. And the person at the other end who's talking back, because they realize they're on a speakerphone, now she's talking louder also.
I was in a restaurant the other day, and this just one person was sitting at the table, and they were with other people, but they're sitting at the table, and they were talking to somebody, and they also had them on the speakerphone.
So we have to stop this right now.
Why do you think that everyone else needs to hear the conversation,
correct,
both sides of the conversation?
Correct. And again, it's not a matter of people having a conversation in a restaurant. That's fine. That goes on all day, every day. You can be in a crowded restaurant in most places, and unless somebody's getting overheated, as I am now, raising my voice to discuss this, everything's fine. But when the speakerphone comes in, everyone has to talk louder.
Yeah. And that's what they were doing, too. They were talking louder.
Just annoying.
Give it a rest.
Annoying as hell. And I have one last thing, and then we'll break, and we'll talk about Back to the Future with this guy who's making this documentary. I have a question for Ian.
Yes.
Who, like me, is a fan of Survivor. Did you watch this week's show?
Yes.
Okay. Almost every year, wherever they are, in Indonesia or wherever they're shooting the show, one of the rewards on that show is a box, a crate with three chickens in it, two hens and a rooster. And they can, the tribe that wins that can take it back and do whatever they want with it. You know, they're going to get eggs, hopefully, out of the hens,
right,
et cetera. Or they can kill one of them and have dinner. And so this week on the show, one of the guys in one of the tribes was having a birthday. It happened to fall on his birthday. And so other members of the tribe said, okay, well, for his birthday, let's kill one of the chickens and we'll have chicken soup and roast, you know, not roast chicken, but boiled chicken,
right,
here in this pot that we have in the camp. And one of the women who was in that tribe, she's a vegetarian, so she didn't really want to be around that. So she went off for a walk while she was doing that. While she was walking, by the way, she was looking for the immunity idol, which she found.
Right.
Which, so it all worked out perfectly for her. But here's my question. Why would you kill one of the two hens?
That's what I couldn't figure out either, because they made it seem like they killed one of the hens. I'm not sure if they did.
I'm pretty sure they did, because they did not take the rooster looking.
It did look like a hen, yes.
Yeah.
But you're not looking to make chicks while you're out there.
Correct. So what use do you have for the rooster? It's the one time in my life I'd say, man, who needs them?
Right. He's only there for the meat.
Right.
I didn't get that either.
But it's every time.
Now, do the hens need the rooster to produce eggs?
No.
No.
Just like human women don't need men to produce eggs, mm-hmm, only to produce babies. And you only need the rooster there to produce baby chickens.
Yeah. No, I was confused by that as well.
Season that they've done this, they have made the wrong choice.
You know what it is? Sexism.
If the
rooster and the hens produce, then you have chicken nuggets. So that's.
But here's the problem: there's no microwave on the island, so that's not going to help them out that much.
I was very confused, because with the hens you'd get protein every day.
Yeah.
With the eggs,
right. Probably just one egg at a time, and you got six people in the tribe. It's going to be a little bit of a fight, but
yes.
Okay, fine. Save them up for a few days. Make some omelets. Make some coconut omelets or whatever you're going to make out there.
Oh,
but they have people who are on this show who have watched all 15 seasons of the show twice a year. That's 30 seasons of the show over 15 years. Who are experts on everything.
Right.
A couple of the people who were on there were touting how they were...
Historical experts.
Yes, they're historians about Survivor. I know this guy, I remember that contestant, I remember this one. But at no point did any of them realize we're killing the wrong chicken.
Yeah. No, I didn't get it either.
And here's the thing that really annoys me. None of those chickens, dark meat. Why?
No.
Why? 3:30 at the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And we're going to check on the highways right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
That is so cool to hear. 3:30 and here's traffic.
That's weird, isn't it?
It kind of throws me off. Frank threw me off one day this week. He went to me at 3:32.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Good afternoon, Paul.
I can guarantee you right now, the 4:31 is going to be late.
Well, that's why I expect that with you at 4:31 Collins in.
Yeah.
No, that's no big deal.
All right, go ahead.
All right, we've got a crash on westbound Highway 7. Well, yeah, it's westbound Highway 70 at Highway Z. The left lane is blocked. You're backed up to Lake St. Louis Boulevard. Eastbound drivers are slowing right around Forestell at the way station. Now, westbound 40 is jamming up from about the Spirit Overpass to the Boone Bridge, but then it's solid from Highway N out through Highway 70. They've just cleared an accident on southbound 55 near Revis. You're still jammed up between River de Pere and Union, but then things break open. And they've also cleared an accident at Tesson Ferry at Baptist Church. And it looks like trying to get out of town on northbound 55, you're slowing just a little bit north of the 44 ramp up to the Poplar Street Bridge. And this traffic report is brought to you by Wendy's. Bring the kids and stop by Wendy's for a kid's meal, now just $1.99 after 4 p.m. for a limited time, with choices that will make both parents and kids happy at participating Wendy's for a limited time. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey everybody, Bill McDermott, the voice of St. Louis FC, here in your home for St. Louis FC. Join me and Bob Ramsey for all things St. Louis FC throughout this entire season. We'll bring you the action on match day live from the soccer park in Fenton, including our pre-match and post-match shows. Friday night is soccer night here on KTRS. Everything soccer is here on your home for St. Louis FC, the Big 550 KTRS.
You've probably heard Weedman is the best lawn care company, and for that we are truly thankful. We feel it's imperative in this day of high childhood obesity to promote healthy activities on your lawn and other sports turf areas. Our team of Weedman professionals feel it's only fair to give back, and so we are announcing a community sports sponsorship contest. Upload a photo of your community or school-based sports team to Weedman USA's Facebook page. Include your team name, league name, and location in the photo description. The top three team photos with the most likes will earn up to a $5,000 sponsorship and a team hydration kit from Weedman Lawn Care. Open to all, customers or not. Go to Weedman's Facebook page for official rules. Get creative with your picture and get networking to help your favorite team win an awesome sponsorship. Our goal is to aid in the fight to lower obesity in kids and adults by promoting more outside activities on our lawns. Having a Weedman lawn makes growing up a memory framed in green. Have your team compete in Weedman's sports team sponsorship contest on Facebook today.
When you own a business, you want the best of the best on your team, which is why you should interview a Regions business banker. Seriously, put on your game face and don't throw us any softball questions either. Ask, what feedback do you get about your responsiveness and personal service? How will you position yourself as a trusted extension of my management team? Tell me how you've worked with clients like me to achieve their financial goals. What makes you different from other bankers? Tell me how Regions is known for customer service. We'll have some compelling answers for you. We'll also be happy to tell you about our award-winning customer service. But the proof is in getting to know us. Finally, please don't be surprised when we have a few questions to ask you about your business. Give a Regions banker the opportunity to really wow you. Call 1-800-833-9776. That's 1-800-833-9776. Or visit regions.com/interview to get started. Regions Bank. Member FDIC.
Each franchise independently owned and operated.
Hey, Julie. Thanks for coming over.
Aw, thanks for inviting me.
Wow, the place looks amazing. I love these window treatments.
Thanks. It's Budget Blinds exclusive new drapery line, Inspired Drapes.
They are really gorgeous. Can I have Budget Blinds' number?
Sure. Call them today. They'll give you professional design advice on hundreds of fabrics and style options without interior designer fees. And they professionally measure and even install. You won't have to lift a finger.
Introducing Inspired Drapes, a Budget Blinds exclusive. Our gorgeous draperies and window fashions are like eye candy for your rooms. Be the first to see the new looks, new colors, new styles, even rugs and pillows that add the perfect finishing touches. Call 1-800-771-8676 now to set up your in-home consultation and be the first in your neighborhood to see our new collection. Call 1-800-771-8676. That's 1-800-771-8676.
Are you tired of that old ratty carpet and you're thinking about doing something new? And maybe you're thinking hardwood floors. Well, if you are, then you need to think about Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, because Boardwalk Hardwood Floors has factory direct pricing. You don't have to pay for their national advertising, and you don't have to pay for their hundreds of warehouses all around the country. Boardwalk Hardwood Floors has three locations here in St. Louis, Crestwood, Manchester, and St. Peter's. And it's factory direct pricing, which means you get a better price on your brand new hardwood floors. Not to mention, they have a wide variety of hardwood floors. And if you currently have hardwood floors and you want them refinished, well, Boardwalk Hardwood Floors will teach you how to refinish them yourself. They'll find somebody for you, or they'll teach you how to install your current hardwood floors. Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, DIY classes, tool rentals, and, of course, hardwood floors. Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, 314-730-3100 or boardwalkhardwood.com.
St. Louis is our home. It's in our history and in our name. We have always served the people of St. Louis, and we always will, because our hearts are here and yours are too. We are the people of St. Louis University Hospital, and this is our city. And we will always be here to heal hearts, because you are special and we are specialists. St. Louis University Hospital. For more, visit sleuspecialists.com.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? FloNase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Big 550 KTRS, the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And that music is Huey Lewis's Back in Time, which was part of the soundtrack from a movie that was released 30 years ago this year. It starred Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson and a whole cast of characters, and spawned two sequels. And my next guest has done a documentary about that movie. The documentary is called Back in Time. The original movie, of course, was called Back to the Future.
We had this germ of an idea about a modern-day kid who goes back in time and ends up attending high school with his parents.
Your parents were once young and had the same dreams that you have right now.
Who doesn't want to see what their parents were like in high school?
It's very clever.
It's a simple movie. It's a human movie.
One moment could change your whole life.
You can't make time travel movies. People don't go see them. Well, you just don't make bad time travel movies. You make a good one.
Those are some of the people who were interviewed for the Back in Time documentary directed by our guest, Jason Aaron. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Good. I got to tell you, just listening to clips from this movie put a smile on my face, and seeing some of those people now 30 years later who are involved in it that you talked to made me feel happy today. Why did you decide to do this in the first place?
It was a crazy idea that was spawned from a family film that I was hired to shoot about a father who takes his son back in time, and they rented a DeLorean. And the day we shot the film, it literally shut down the town to the point where people were just stopping their cars and getting out and taking pictures. And as a huge Back to the Future fan myself, I saw how just the car could affect people in such a way, and the way they associated Back to the Future. And I knew there was something there. And after another good friend of mine did a Kickstarter campaign for a Batman documentary, I said, all right, if he did it, I can do it. And we threw it up on Kickstarter 2 years ago, got our first round of funding, and got to work.
And you've gotten over $100,000 worth of funding, right?
Well, so this is our second. The Kickstarter campaign that's active right now is actually our second Kickstarter campaign. The first one, like I said, was 2 years ago. We'd raised $46,000, which more or less got us through production. We needed a little bit of extra help during production. We launched this Kickstarter about 10 days ago and have been astonished by what has happened. Actually, this morning, today, we broke the $100,000 mark, and we still have 19 days to go.
Well, congratulations on that. When we talk about Back to the Future, it is a movie that I think has certainly lived well through the 30 years. You can watch it now, and it's just as funny as it was. I'm not so sure about Back to the Future 3, but 1 and 2 were pretty good. And people who are fans of the movie can listen to clips of it, and they can mouth these lines along with us.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Oh, my God. They found me. I don't know how, but they found me.
Run for it, Marty!
Who?
Who do you think? The Libyans!
Just relax, Calvin. You've got a big bruise on your head.
Ah! Where are my pants?
Over there. On my hope chest. I've never seen purple underwear before, Calvin.
Calvin, why do you keep calling me Calvin?
Well, that is your name, isn't it? Calvin Klein? It's written all over your underwear.
Hey, I've seen this one. This is a classic. This is where Ralph dresses up as a man from space.
What do you mean you've seen this? It's brand new.
Yeah, well, I saw it on a rerun.
It's a rerun.
You'll find out. I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now, I need your help to get back to the year 1985. I'm telling the truth, Doc. You gotta believe me.
Then tell me, future boy.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor? Then who's vice president? Jerry Lewis?
1.21 gigawatts!
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
It still sounds great today, 30 years later. And when you talk to the people who were involved in this, I mentioned Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson. Jason, you talk to them and Bob Zemeckis, the director, and Bob Gale, the writer. Tell us some of the things that they told you that they remembered from the shooting of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to hear those bites you guys pulled. We actually interviewed everyone who spoke in that montage. And, you know, I think what's amazing, Robert Zemeckis, more than anybody else, kind of shocked us. You know, we interviewed actors as, obviously we interviewed Michael and Christopher Lloyd, and we interviewed parts as small as Goldie Wilson, you know, who essentially had a line in the movie. And you'd expect Goldie Wilson, whose name is Don Fullo, you'd expect Don to tell you how big Back to the Future was for him. It was the biggest role he ever played. But when we sat down with Robert Zemeckis, who has such a storied career, you know, who won Academy Awards for Forrest Gump, and I said to him, with Back to the Future, you know, where does that sort of rank in your career? And he point blank said it's the greatest thing he ever did. And it jarred me. You know, I froze for a little bit because, you know, even though you know how big it is, you almost didn't expect him to say that. And, you know, you just realize how momentous this movie was. Of course, he was a co-writer with Bob Gale on Back to the Future. It was important to him. And, you know, Michael, who's dealing with so much with his illness, who really puts himself out there with his foundation to try and raise awareness and find a cure for Parkinson's, you know, the love and outpouring that he gets from the fans and just how appreciative he is and how regular these people are, you know. Just, you know, we were talking about hockey. I'm a big hockey fan. Michael's a big hockey fan from Canada. And, you know, we were just talking about going to Ranger games in New York and stuff like that. It was very normal.
Was it hard to get through to some of these people? I mean, did any of them say,
yeah,
oh, some fanboy wants an interview?
We suspected that would be an issue, so we were very methodical about how we approached getting these people. Like I said, we've been working on this for about 2 years now. You know, our first Kickstarter had raised some interest, and it raised some eyebrows, and people saw it, and Bob Gale jumped on board right away. He's the gatekeeper for the Back to the Future franchise, and once people saw how serious it was, we were able to start getting more serious interviews and more serious interviews. Adam F. Goldberg, who is the creator of The Goldbergs on ABC, he's a co-executive producer with us, and his access was very important to us. They had done a hoverboard episode and some other things just with Back to the Future throughout their two seasons, and so they had some contact with Michael J. Fox's people. By the time we went to Michael J. Fox, we were very far along in the process. Adam was able to kind of help us secure that, and once we secured Michael J. Fox, the floodgates were open. I mean, essentially, at that point, we kind of had all the rest of the access that we needed.
Now, there's one person who we haven't mentioned here who, of course, was in the first movie but not in the next two, and that is Crispin Glover, who played George McFly, later replaced in the next two movies by an actor by the name of Jeffrey Weissman. Maybe that was because of Crispin Glover almost kicking David Letterman in the head on his NBC late night show. I'm not sure. But did you try to talk to him, or did you purposely leave him out?
No, I mean, there are two, you know, the other notable name, obviously, is Tom Wilson, who played Biff.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, because when I kind of concocted this idea for this documentary, Tom Wilson was, I was so excited to think that maybe I was going to have the opportunity to sit down with Tom Wilson and talk about Back to the Future. And very early on in the process, we learned that he just doesn't do Back to the Future anymore. He had done the fan show circuit, and it just kind of got old, and, you know, he felt like he wanted to move on with his life. And, you know, there is no way at this point to get him to talk about Back to the Future, which is a shame, you know, because the fans love him, and he's a really nice guy. Then as far as Crispin Glover, there are a lot of different stories in terms of what happened. There was clearly a contract dispute. Crispin talked about the fact that he didn't like the direction that the film was going in for certain aspects of it. And, you know, finally, like you said, he was replaced by Jeffrey Weissman, who we did interview for the documentary. And he being Crispin, didn't like Jeffrey's performance in the film. So you know, there's some bad blood there, and we saw him in a couple radio interviews, and he essentially he just uses the time to kind of bash Back to the Future. And, you know, our documentary is an absolute love letter to the franchise. So, you know, we would have had him. Obviously, we could have interviewed him and then taken some editorial liberties later, but he just wasn't a great fit.
Yeah, well, it's not like that decision by Crispin Glover hurt his career at all.
I mean, look, Back to the Future was the biggest role he ever had, but it's not like he hasn't worked since, you know, so he's still done some other stuff. I think, you know, when you really look at Back to the Future, the original, I mean, his role was iconic. His comedic timing, I mean, you take him out of Back to the Future, and it probably doesn't even work. So, obviously the second and third scripts were written differently, knowing he wasn't going to be in it. But, I mean, it's a shame.
You know, we talk about Crispin Glover being in the first, but not the second and the third. There's also an actor who was supposed to be in the first and then got cut out of the movie that he was starring in before Michael J. Fox. I've heard the story that they actually shot part of the movie with Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly.
Yeah, you know, part is a loose use of a term. In fact, they shot almost the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
They were 6 weeks into shooting. They had shot almost everything with Eric Stoltz, and we've asked essentially everybody about that, because what a crazy thing to be that far into shooting. And, I mean, on most other productions, this would have shut down the production. Obviously, this was a major budget film, and, you know, they were able to sort of work through it. I mean, the story is that they wanted Michael J. Fox in the beginning, but he was on Family Ties, obviously, and they couldn't get him off of Family Ties, so they went with Eric Stoltz. And you know, Robert Zemeckis takes full blame for it, you know, saying that, listen, they tried and they tried, and he thought maybe if they keep shooting, it'll work, and it just never worked. And 6 weeks into filming, they had to make the decision to fire Eric, and I believe one of the producers on Family Ties had a baby, and then they were off, and it just worked out. They were able to get Michael. Michael ended up doing Back to the Future and Family Ties. He was shooting Family Ties during the day and Back to the Future at night and sleeping never. And everyone involved with the production, and we've asked this question to everyone, says this film would have never worked with Eric Stoltz.
Mm.
Not that he's a bad actor, he's just a different actor, and Michael's comedy sensibilities are amazing, and the way he and Christopher Lloyd connected. And it, I mean, imagine a different Marty McFly. It's almost unimaginable.
Talk to
but
me
they,
about...
There's a lot of footage. There's a lot of footage out there with Eric Stoltz, you know.
Yeah,
Marty.
I've seen some of it on YouTube, and I didn't realize it was 6 weeks into the production. That's ridiculous. Talk to me a little bit about the Back to the Future culture. I did not know that there are conventions, as there have been for Star Trek for three or four decades, and other movies as well. I didn't know there was a Back to the Future convention group out there that runs shows all over the world.
Yeah, it's... You know, there are so many different things for Back to the Future. First of all, if you go to any Comic-Con anywhere, you know, you see people dressed up as Doc, and you see people dressed up as Marty. You have, during this documentary, we had the opportunity to go to England, and this was a one-time event. But, you know, in London, where you kind of forget how global Back to the Future is, they had an event where they rebuilt Hill Valley. And they had 80,000 attendees over a six-week period. It was 3,000 people a night who came in 1950s period costumes, and they dressed up, and you came out to Hill Valley, and there were 120 actors playing different roles, everybody from Marty and Doc to just sort of invented roles, like the teacher at the school or the guy that runs the record shop, and you were there for a few hours.
Hold on just a second here. You're telling me that people go to a Back to the Future convention, and when they choose the character from the movie that they're going to be, they choose a character who's not in the movie.
No, so these are actors. So essentially what happens is there's 3,000 paying guests at this event.
Uh-huh.
I believe the tickets are about, it's translated to $85. You went and you were assigned a role.
Oh.
So as soon as you bought your ticket, you were an egg farmer on Peabody's farm, or you were a high school student, or you were whatever. And then they employed 120 paid actors a night who were given roles by the production.
Ah.
And those actors essentially made Hill Valley run. And what they would do is they would have, and it's funny, they sent us their call sheet so that we would know what to film while we were there. And there were sometimes five different things going on in a given minute all over you know, all over the production. It was so detailed and so well run. And then you would go in the evening, and then as it got darker, and they were able to do it, they would then screen Back to the Future at the end of the night, and everybody would sit and watch Back to the Future. And they did it in a sort of a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of way, where, you know, when the DeLorean comes off the back of the truck, they had a DeLorean there that would come out from the stage, and they reenacted a bunch of different scenes in the movie. It was incredible.
Did you run into fans who actually bought a DeLorean and tricked it out with time circuits?
Yes, yes. So that is a culture, you know, within a culture. What has happened over the last 15 years or so, these different different groups and individuals started building these time machine replicas. They would take a DeLorean and, trick it out. And some of it is for show and for hobby. Some of it you have these people who are so interested in the details and making sure everything is right and every part that's on their, you know, DeLorean replica was on the actual car that was used in the movie. This is a business. It's a very real thing, and we've met, you know, along the way, you know, over a dozen owners that had it. We had an opportunity in June to go to a DeLorean car show where they had over 300 DeLorean owners who get together for a convention. They do this biannually. And part of this convention, not only are they stock DeLoreans, but they have DeLorean time machines. They had a DeLorean monster truck and a DeLorean limousine. So the DeLorean subculture within itself is its own culture, you know, even outside of Back to the Future.
Is there a Back to the Future hoverboard culture?
So there is. Anybody who saw Back to the Future 2 in 1989, I mean, this was the one gadget that we had to have.
Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis had done a fake promotion for the movie and said that hoverboards were real. And people saw this and, you know, not understanding the humor in it. I mean, this was every kid's dream. I was certainly a kid around this time. And, I think people have legitimately been trying to figure out how to do this thing for the last, 25-plus years. And there's a company out in Northern California. Their name is Hendo Hover. It's Greg and Jill Henderson. And they invented a working hoverboard that sort of came to them by accident. He's an architect, and he was working on different structural ideas for buildings in the Northern California area and trying to figure out sort of how to levitate buildings so that they'd be safer in earthquakes and things like that, and floods. And they realized that they could hover a stationary object. And once they realized they could hover a stationary object, they said, well, what's cooler than a hoverboard? So they invented a hoverboard. They put it on Kickstarter. They raised over $500,000. They had Tony Hawk come down there and ride it. And when we went over there to film them, we were all able to ride the actual working first hoverboard. And it is real. I can tell you it works. I mean, you know, it's not like the movie. You're not 6 feet in the air and swinging all over the place. It uses maglev technology. So it's essentially magnets combined with motors. But when they turn that thing on, you know, you're a few inches off the ground and you could feel it. You know, you step on the board and kind of bouncing on air. It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. All right, so we're here 30 years later. From Back to the Future, 2015, the year that Marty went to when he went into the future. And all of this has been documented in a new movie called Back in Time. Jason Aaron is the director of that movie. When is it coming out? When will we see it? And how will we see it?
So we're going to release it on Future Day, which is October 21st, 2015. It's the day that Marty went forward in time. And there's obviously a lot of Back to the Future buzz and different events planned around that day. But we're going to be out in Hollywood, California for the premiere at an event called We're Going Back, and it's going to be a crazy event. It's going to be a week-long event, and, you know, our premiere is going to be on that night on October 21st, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
If you want to find out more information about it, including how to contribute to the Kickstarter campaign, you can go to backintimefilm.com. Do I have the URL right?
That's it.
That's great. It's been so much fun talking to you about this movie. I have so many more questions, but maybe some of them will be answered. I'm sure many of them will be answered when the movie comes out later this year. Jason, thanks for your time today.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Jason Aaron, director of the documentary Back in Time, here on the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
And we're going to see how many DeLoreans are out on the highways right now and check traffic. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, it depends where they are. They're stuck because on southbound 55, they've cleared that earlier accident that was between Union and Rivas, but there must be flares or something still in the roadway. because traffic has stacked up a pretty solid bit now from 4500 South Broadway all the way to the Union Overpass, and then things open up. On eastbound 40 downtown, you're jammed up from Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. The normal slowdowns on westbound 40 Kings Highway through McCausland. You are stop and go, though, from the Spirit Overpass to the Boone Bridge. And then, because of that earlier accident that was on Highway 70 and Highway Z, westbound 40 slows from Winghaven all the way out through Highway 70. On westbound 70, you're slowing now from about T.R. Hughes out through Highway Z. And it sounds like in the middle of that at Bryan Road that there's another crash. Looks like eastbound 270 is starting to get heavy now at Lindbergh. This report is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance Auto Parts, order your parts online and pick them up in-store in just 30 minutes so you can get back to the garage doing what you love. Order online at AdvanceAutoParts.com. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's your early morning wake-up call. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
Farmer Dave, weekdays at 5 a.m.
Come on, dear, it's time to get up.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
Are you suffering with your dentures? Are you suffering from not being able to eat what you want? Well, we have a solution. Dr. Bowen and Bowen Dental Care. He is fully certified, trained, and an expert in dental implants. He can take your existing dentures and turn them into new implants, and you'll be able to eat anything you want. The results are truly amazing. He can take your existing dentures, or he can start fresh. Either way, people are able to eat corn on the cob. They're able to eat their favorite steak. And they're actually able to enjoy their life again. Dental implants is the way to go, and you want to go with somebody you can trust. And you can trust Dr. Bowen. He's been an expert in this for years. Dr. Bowen and Bowen Dental Care in Florissant, 314-921-3500. Even if you're looking for a second opinion, call Dr. Bowen. He'll be happy to give you a free consultation. Dr. Bowen and dental implants for your existing dentures or from scratch. Dr. Bowen Dental Care, 314-921-3500 or BowenDentalCare.com.
How many companies can trace their roots back to the 1904 World's Fair in Forest Park? Renoco Coffee can, and our headquarters and roasting plant are still located in the heart of St. Louis. We have grown with this city, and today, with thousands of customers in the region, our passion is serving those who serve our